The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m., and if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to be in your presence. You promised where we just gather together in your name that you would be right in the middle of what we'd be doing. In your presence, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. There's no better place to be than the presence of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. When you walked this earth, crowds of people came to see this man, this wonderful man who spoke such wisdom, the Messiah. They discovered who you are, the King of Glory. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence. Thankful that your story didn't end at the cross. It didn't even end at the empty tomb. And it won't end until you return back to this earth to take us all home. We thank you, Father. Thank you that you've always wanted to spend time with us, even as you did with Adam and Eve in the garden when you visited with them. And you visit with us to be with us. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank you, guys. That was great. Great, great, great. In your presence. Hallelujah. What a joy to see everyone here this morning. And we have some special guests that you're going to meet in just a moment. But I don't want to miss this opportunity to introduce someone who needs no introduction, as they say. And that's the mayor of our community, Mayor Freddie Drennan, and his wife are with us today. So good to see you, Mayor. Give you a nice warm welcome. Would you like to say anything, Mayor? Got anything you'd like to greet the folks with? I'll be glad to give you the microphone.
Marsh, you know better than handing me the microphone.
I do, but I did it anyway.
I just want to say thank you, thank you. And folks, I just want to tell y'all, Marsh has been a very big blessing to me. He has helped me in many ways. He has helped me with the big prayer breakfast we do every year in January. He is a constant person there. I do a prayer breakfast the third Wednesday of every month, and he's always there supporting it and helping work with it. And I just want to tell you, y'all have a very godly minister here, and I really appreciate him. Just wanted to say thank you. God bless.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you. Amen. You know, I'm not a real term limits kind of guy. But our mayor's getting term limited out, and I'm starting to rethink that. But he's been a blessing to our community, and I know God's got somebody else to follow him. There's always a man of wisdom to follow a godly man. And so we thank you for all you do. Thank you, Glenda, for all you do. I know you're such a support to our mayor, and thank you for the service to our community. We really appreciate it. So I'm in the introduction business today, all right? So I'm just going to introduce folks. Another couple that needs no introduction here, and that's David and Grace Ziegler, and the Z folks, as I like to call them. And David is just, he and Grace are just movers and shakers. I'll tell you what, they're making things happen. And when they met each other and fell in love and got married, and that's a what a joy that is to be a part of that, to see that happen. And now God's using them together. They were working independently. Now they're working together. And so I had asked David to come and speak for us today. I knew that I was going to be late. I was out of town the last couple of days, and I didn't get into real late last night. So I thought I'd make it easy on myself by having David come back and preach for us, since he hadn't been here in a while. And he's brought a friend, and I'm going to let you take over from here, and I'm just going to give you the stage, all right?
Okay, thank you.
Or the pulpit, as they say.
Yes, yes. All right, am I on here?
Yes, you are.
Okay, great.
This is a hot mic. Right?
It's hot, okay. Give me a hug there.
Z-Man.
Appreciate you. Wow, it's great to be able to stand before you today and be welcome back again. A lot of smiling and friendly faces. There's a lot to say. Boy, do I have a lot to say, but I'm going to have to condense it all the more. And Mayor Freddy, your and Glenda's presence here has brought back some great memories, I just want to say. And if it wasn't for Pastor Morse, truly, under your leadership, I don't know. All these things work together. All these things work together. And what I want to say is this. Grace and I met through the coroner's office as we were asked to be chaplains. And wouldn't you know, here in St. Tammany, that's what is going on with some of us ministers, that we're a part of that. And it was just before that that I was given a mission by the Lord to go up to the city of Bogalusa. In my travels there as a hospice chaplain, God started dealing with me about that city up there. And if you remember, Mayor Freddy, I spoke about that a couple of years ago and how God was laying on my heart to bring forth a time where the ministers and people and leaders of the city would get together and to come together for the sake of racial reconciliation. Well, that time has come and went, but some great things have occurred as a result of that. I mean, some great things. First thing is that I got married. And God brought grace to help me to do this. Secondly, only God can coordinate the way He coordinates. As a result of that effort, we had a time of reconciliation with pastors up there in Bogalusa in Washington Parish, along with the mayor there as well, and some city leaders. But wouldn't you know, during that time, and shortly after, I was going through an ordination process to become an ordained minister. Well, at that time, we were introduced to an ordination group called TMCI. And TMCI brought these folks together with us. And wouldn't you know that during the process of all these things, that the work that we did up in Bogalusa, who'd have ever thought that once we got with TMCI, the ordaining group that we're with, that the bishop of that group questioned us and said, where do you see yourself going in ministry? And we said, well, we see ourselves going out of the country and doing missions in Africa. And he said, well, let me hook you up with a missionary that's already existed in Uganda. And we said, okay, and he hooked us up with our brother Darren here and his wife Fatuma by the same ordaining group. And wouldn't you know that brother Darren is from Bogalusa. Only God can do all these coordinating, connecting things. And so today, wow, we have with us Darren and Fatuma. We were able to go and visit with them as they are ministers in Uganda at an orphanage. And many of you, thank you, have given, and I can't stop thanking you, of your time, your efforts, your funds, your prayers, for us to be able to go and do our part for 2 weeks from mid-April to May. And we came back, and we already started another plan, planning time to go back in November, this time medically. But today, in their travels back to the United States, they've been here about a month, am I right? Close to it? 3 weeks. Came in via San Diego and have come all the way across the United States and have traveled. And they're with us today and will be with us for the upcoming week as well. And I would like, before I give a word, to introduce to you, wow, Darren and Fatuma from Uganda. Darren from Bogalusa, but his wonderful wife, Fatuma from Uganda. And baby James. Baby James. And they're going to share with you.
Hallelujah! Amen! Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, my name's Darren O'Quinn, and I spent the first 20 years of my life in Bogalusa. And then I walked away from God, and then I came back to God, and he baptized me in the Holy Spirit November the 11th, 2005. And then in 2011, 2012, I decided to go to Uganda, and I met Fatuma. She was a translator for the team.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then, you know, over time, the Lord told me when I was coming back on British Airways, he said, you're going back. And I started praying into that after I got back. And sure enough, he sent me back.
Amen.
And, you know, over the several years and getting to know, oh, baby, good boy. You want to say something? Okay, I guess he won't be quiet. But
may I hold him for you?
Yes, please. Thank you. But hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Over the course of time, I started a chicken project at her home for children. And a church in San Diego, the pastor helped me do that. And then over time, I got to know Fatuma better, and I asked her to marry me. And hallelujah, she said yes. And hey, so I am truly one of the most blessed men in the world. I have a strong African wife. I have a beautiful son. But and then when I married her, I adopted by marriage 76 other children. Okay, so that number has grown to 106. And we love those children, and we teach them about Jesus. We teach them about the power of prayer. And, you know, the Lord starts, and some of the children, they've been through some really bad situations. They've been tortured. They've been abused. Some of them have burn marks on their body from the correction that their parents gave them. And the police and the probation, Child Protective Services brings us these children. And they know that we have too many children for our facilities. But they continue to bring them to us because it's like the Holy Spirit, once they're with us for a few months, the Holy Spirit starts healing them mentally, spiritually, and physically. And they start turning back into normal children. They run around and play. That we have bicycles that they ride around on. And they share. They share everything that they have. They are so appreciative of everything that all the people that sow into this ministry, they're so thankful for everything that is given to them. And they pray every morning. We have prayer circle every day except for Sunday because it's church day. But they pray for everybody, all of the ministries that sow into us. And we couldn't do it without Jesus Christ, but also we couldn't do it without the body. The body is so vital to everything that we do because it's by your prayers and by your sowing in that we are able to do what we do. And then we meet people, wonderful people like David and Grace. We meet people like Brandon and Jenica. I met Jenica several years ago on, I think it was the first or second mission trip that I went to Uganda. But they have visited us in our home too. And it's just an adventure. And it's a love story. All of us falling deeper in love with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, our Master. And it's a wonderful life. Sometimes it's got its ups and downs, but even in those down times, that's when we have to lean into the Lord and we have to learn and lean on His strength and run on His strength and not our own. Realize that we really don't have it, but He's got us in the palm of His hand and He loves us all so much more than we can even imagine. Unto Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh within each one of us. And He is that power. The Holy Spirit is that power that worketh in us and through us to change the world. We are to be the salt and the light in this world. We are to be His hands and feet. And if we don't have the Holy Spirit teaching us and guiding us, we can't do it. We need Him and we need each other. Hallelujah! Amen! And I'm going to let my wife say something because once I start talking, it's kind of hard for me to be quiet. So I've got to give the microphone to her.
Amen.
Come here, baby James.
Amen. Praise God. I really thank God for today. I'm blessed to be here. And you are blessed to hear my word. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Because that is how Jesus told His disciple. I'm Fatuma Okwin by name. I never knew that one day will add on my name as Okwin. And that Okwin is from Bagalusa. Really, I feel like I'm a blessed woman. But I would like to share a little bit of my testimony. I grown up on the street since I was 8 years and until to 19 years. I never went to school. I never been with my parent. But as I was growing on the street, I always asked God to help me to love others as I love myself. I wasn't a born-again Christian. I was a Muslim, but into that situation, I was God. I want to help other street kids. But this is what happened. One day I was at my church. Most of my time, I was spending the time at my church, praying, interceding for the church, and everything. One day, God brought one mad person with a child, and I prayed for them, asking God that, please, God, bring one rich man to take that baby away from that lady. As I was praying every day, interceding for that baby, it never happened. But one day, people, they took that baby from the mad woman to feed him. They came when the baby was only 1 week. That is how I took it. But I made a friendship with this lady, and I always took a little bit I have to feed the baby, praying for him. But this is what happened when God wants to use you. People, they stole the baby from the mad woman. After stealing him, they feed him and took back to her. She said, he no longer mine. Took him away. I don't like him. So these people, they knew always I am in the church and I'm born again Christian. And they said to me when they brought that baby, they told me, we are not taking this baby. But as I know you born again Christian, you are merciful and kind. Will you please take this baby? And that time I was homeless, so I said, no, I'm not taking that baby. And this baby is not mine because I have been praying for the rich couple or rich person to come over and take the baby. I'm not rich. I'm poor. In my church, they were giving me like $1 per week. And I can't do that. These people, as they were departing, I felt the Holy Spirit whispering in my ears, saying that, take the baby. I didn't hesitate. I told them, bring the baby, because I know how to hear the Holy Spirit. So I took the baby. I was spending like a year without getting, let me say, like $5. Because if I say it in our language, they will look like big amount. But like $5 a year, I never get an amount like that. But I believed in God. As I believed I was God, you know, feeding myself, it is hard. So you are adding me another person to take care of. This is what happened. I told one of my friends, please, I have a burden. I called it a burden. And I need you to help me to lift this burden for me. She sent me like $20. And that was I never got any amount like that. So God started to provide like that. In a few years, he told me, you have to start a family for street kids. Again, my life wasn't good, but when you know God and when you trust in him, always is faithful. I have seen God doing many miracles and wonders. He has added me many people. You guys, you are part of our family because David and Grace, they have been telling us a lot about you, You have been supporting us. You have been supporting them. So I know I'm a big family of God. I was thinking that I was poor when God was giving me that baby. But now I know I'm rich in Him. Because for that there was one baby. Now we have 160 kids. So God can start with one and add you more and more and more in Jesus' name. I have many testimonies, but may God bless you abundantly. Amen. Amen.
You know, hallelujah. Hey, for the last 3 years, there has been a drought in Uganda. You know, and people were, there was no growing season. Okay, the price of food tripled in the last say, year and a half. But you know, our God is faithful. Our children never had a lack. You know, it was because these are God's children. These are not our children. These are His children. But we have future apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers, future ministers of parliament, future doctors, future lawyers. The Lord is going to take what the enemy intended for evil in these young children's lives, and He's going to turn it around to good for His glory, to glorify His holy name. You know, we don't care if anybody knows our name, but we want everybody to know Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, the Holy One, our Lord and Savior, our Master. Amen! And it says, go and lo, I will be with you even until the end of the age. And I have found that to be so true. He has never forsaken me. He has never left me. Sometimes it's been kind of hard on those low spots. But, you know, I talk to Him and I talk to my brothers and sisters in those low times. And, hey, man, the Lord just and the Holy Spirit just picked me back up. And my wife, I have to confide in her and talk to her about things. But Amen. But it's so important about a community. Community. Hallelujah. Hey, thank you. Hey, praise God. Bless you, Brother David. Bless everyone.
We love
here.
You, God.
Thank you so much. Amen. You. Love you, brother. Wonderful. Amen.
You know, I just couldn't help. Forgive me for what I'm about to say. But, you know, every time I meet people who are serving God, men in particular, I find their wives are so amazing. And your wife is really an amazing woman, just as gracious to David and so many others, and my own wife to me. So thank you for what you shared. I just wanted to say, the reason I asked for the mic is there's a basket, a love offering basket, and you'll stumble over it trying to get out of here. Anything you put into that love offering basket will go to the orphanage, and we'll just give that as a love gift to our friends from Uganda, okay? So I want to say that. David, you got the floor.
Amen. Amen. Woo! Hey, will you stand with me for just a minute? Let's make sure we don't forget some things that are real important. If you'll just raise both your hands, if we'll just do this as an act of faith. Lord, we are lifting our hands and agreeing by the lifting up of our hands, dear God, that You are going to do a great work and continue what You've started in Darren and Fatuma. And we, dear God, as Your body, here in America, we stretch forth those arms that are uplifted to You now to them. Stretch forth Your arms to Darren and Fatuma, and we send blessings, that which we have to impart to them by the power of the Holy Spirit that works within each of us, blessings their way, in order that this job, this call that's been started will be completed in Jesus' name. We thank You, dear God, that we can send funds, money, and support. But Lord, all the more, Your prayers are the strongest effect that we can send, dear God. And we thank You, dear God, that it's the Holy Spirit that operates within us and that gives us life in order that, Lord, that we might give back out. So we say, be anointed. Be anointed all the more for Your service. While here and in America and in Your return back. And we give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Be seated, please. And I'm not going to be here too long, because once Dave starts preaching, things get long. But I'll just say, hey, I've got my one sheet of paper to let you know I'll stay with that sheet of paper. And I'd like to welcome this young couple here that I see sitting behind Darren and Fatuma here. That's Brandon and Jenica, right? I got a hold of your Facebook page last night, and I messaged you to see if you'd be a friend of mine, by the way. So we'll find that out if I'm a good enough preacher. You let me know by requesting my friendship there with you. Looking forward to meeting up and talking with you folks and fellowshipping with you. Wow. All I'm going to speak to you today is about some messages that Paul sent to the church. I'm going to read 2 Timothy chapter 1, 7 through 14 and expound. I really don't have many points to give to you today. I'm not going to teach as much as I'm going to preach, if that'll be okay today. Wow. I'm just wanting to encourage you with his word. Paul was, other than Jesus, my favorite New Testament character. And in this particular part of Scripture, he's encouraging his younger brother or son in the faith, Timothy, here. And actually, this is a discourse that Paul gives before he's getting ready to go. He knows his time is short, but yet he is always given an encouraging word. Let me start right here. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control." How many of you remember that scripture? "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner." This past month in June, I was at VBS, Vacation Bible School, and I was asked to be Paul at Vacation Bible School at the church that we attend right over here, Community Christian. And I had to put on a costume for 4 nights and play the role of Paul as a prisoner with chains, led around by a guard to show a group of young children what life was like when Paul was in prison. And do you know, I had to learn a script and have a few things to say each night to the kids, but let me tell you, putting on that robe and that costume and putting those chains on me, I started to realize, hold on, Paul was bound, but man, he wasn't held back. In fact, when in prison, he probably did some of the greatest things that anyone ever could do that was called of God, and that was write some scripture. Did he know that it was going to be canonized and put out forth for the whole world to read? We don't know. But man, look what happened. And as I was acting the role of Paul, I became very encouraged because I began to understand what it must be like to be in prison, but yet still have an audience, to be able to give forth what he gave forth. So as I began to speak, I had to look at the children and say, "Thank you for coming and visiting me while I was in prison." And I asked questions to the kids, and the kids answered back. Very interesting questions. But looking back there, it actually humbled me by being able to play that role for those few days there at Vacation Bible School. Looking here it says, "Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace." You know, this letter here, I don't know if you all know, in the New Testament here, there weren't punctuations when the Greek was written. So Paul is reading and reading and reading, and we have to add commas, and we have to add verses, and we have to add periods to his statements because he goes on and on and on. But as we read his words, he is so rich. He is so rich in what he is saying here. "Because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began." This past week, I was reading in the book of Deuteronomy, chapters 27, 28, 29, talked about the curses that have come upon this earth that were destined to come upon the children of Israel, but also of the blessings that the children of Israel were to have if they obeyed God. It was a conditional blessing, and it was a promised curse if those were not fulfilled, if those promises of following the Lord and obeying Him were not fulfilled. And then you keep on reading, in chapter 29, and there's more curses. And they begin to explain, if you do this, this is what will happen. If you don't obey here, then this tragedy will happen. And if you don't have a renewed mind as you're reading these things, wow, it can send you into a place of depression because of what is so detailed in the Scripture as to what happens to those that don't obey. And God, man, don't we know that we've been through some things in our lives where we've had to be corrected and shown the right way. But when we watch the news and take a look at the news, let me tell you, folks, can I just say this? I don't know. It's really not as bad as what they're portraying it is. Can we kind of allow our minds to take that in realizing that the Bible says that Satan is the prince in the power of the air, and that he loves to shoot things out, and he loves to spread his hurt and his pain and his destruction. He loves to do these things. What he does. But as followers of the Lord, as Paul would say, keep the faith. Realize that greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world out there wreaking havoc and doing things to bring destruction. Many of us know that, wow, I'm not going to get political here too long, but I have to say that our present administration is working to do things well in our country once again. And I'll just say this, on our airplane ride back, and I said this earlier, from Uganda, we could sense truly the anger coming close back to the United States. We could sense something in Uganda that was not in Uganda that we sensed in the United States. And that was anger and rage to such a degree that you could feel it in the air. In the airplane, literally flying back. And I thought to myself, what is it that we're doing wrong? We go and we visit a country that has problems with poverty, with AIDS, with malaria. We go, we do our part. We realize that even if we can just touch one child, one person, it was worth the whole thing. But yet we're coming back to the place that sent us out, and there's such hurt and pain going on. But yet, we're the hope of the world. The words that are within us, the Holy Spirit that is within us causes us to say, no matter how bad it gets, Lord, I am going to be your light. I am going to be your salt in this great United States, who is the country that I love. I would go back in the military if they called me back gladly and say, yes, I will fight for this nation and do it with a proud heart. But yet, he's called us to be the hope, and we can do that. Continuing on here, I don't even know where I left off. Right here. In Jesus Christ before the ages began, and which has now, Paul speaking, been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. How many of you know that, wow, before you knew Christ, that you may not have really understood what life was about? You may not have really understood what immortality was about. When you came to Christ, you begin to realize, wow, there's this thing called light and dark. There's this thing called evil and good. And even though you may have understood that there was evil out in the world, you didn't understand that there were angels and that there were demons and that there was this thing called spiritual warfare, and that once we have our eyes enlightened through the gospel, that we are now in this thing called the kingdom of God, and that we are in the army of God, and that we are in a fight whether we like it or not. And hopefully we'll learn to understand that we like this, not on the realm of, wow, I want to go fight, but on the realm that, hey, I've been given the light of the gospel. And I understand now that there's a war to fight. But we, outside of God's grace, would not even understand that we're fighting a war, folks. And it's pretty bad. And it's raging. But yet, It takes persecution sometimes to arise to the occasion. And I sense that the Lord is putting that as a theme on me wherever I go to let people know, whether here or abroad, is that God is allowing spiritual warfare to take place, and He's allowing, because of all principalities being under Him in Christ, that God is allowing Satan to turn the heat up a little bit in order for Christ's return. But yet, that heat has been promised to us in His Scripture that it would come. And that, of course, we would see rumors of wars and earthquakes and tragedies in order to do what? To keep us alert and to wake some of us up to the fact that He is indeed coming back. But yet, we're to be salt and light and to carry that hope. Wow. When Paul was writing these things, don't we know he was persecuted? Don't we know that we saw some things take place in his life through his writings, that he was stoned, that he was beaten and left for dead, but yet came up out of that situation and was still able to keep continuing on? And I'm just here to remind you today, wow, that even in persecution, that God is going to be seen all the more clearly by us turning our lights on and being bright and shining and doing our part for the next generation. I tell you, I'm excited about what we see as far as coming for the next generation. And we want to submit to one to another in order that the young people might learn this thing of submission. They got to see it from somewhere. They got to learn about how, wow, these adults, they submit one to another. They submit to authority. They embrace authority. And our example as to how we treat one another and submit to one another is going to cause our younger people to look and say, well, I see them doing it. Maybe it'll work for me. Amen? Wow. We are all part of a team. Amen? Paul says here, I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Now, what Paul was talking about was not his Pharisaical ways, not his knowledge, not his education, but what he had done in the gospel, that work would be entrusted to God. And that God would not forget the things that he did here on the earth and somehow have up in the bank of heaven a deposit made for him. And that there was something awaiting for him up in heaven. And we know that what that is not only a heavenly home, but a crown to be given to him as well. So he said, I know that and have believed and am convinced, Paul speaking, that God is able to guard until that day. You know how the Scriptures say this in another portion of Scripture? It says that we, above all, should guard our hearts. Above all, because out of our hearts flow the issues of life or the wellsprings, the good things of life, and that we should protect our heart. Finally, Paul says here, follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Paul was exhorting Timothy to guard that deposit. Now, I have a little joke with Grace, and we've started it, but it's really not really a joke. It's a good thing that we can remember about our deposits that we can make into our marriage. You know, you make deposits if you're married into your marriage, or you make withdrawals. It's a good thing to make a deposit into your marriage for your spouse's sake.
Amen.
It's not such a good thing to make a withdrawal. So we're constantly trying to encourage one another and put one another above ourselves. as the scriptures talk about, so as to make a deposit into our marriage. Sometimes we make withdrawals. And if I make a withdrawal, Grace said, I think you just made a withdrawal. And we have our fun with all that, but we know that that's an ongoing thing in our life and in our marriage that we want to continue to represent. It's a good deposit that God has brought to each of us in marriage and in our families. But all the more, the deposit that God has placed within each one of us is the ability to show forth His praises and to give glory to God. And today, I just want you to know, wow, as the days get darker, we become brighter. As the salt of the earth, as the light of the earth, God's placed that within each one of us. And He wants us to guard that which the Holy Spirit has put in our hearts and in our lives, in order that we, at the end of our days, have something to show for it. Amen? Amen. Grace and I still get called up quite a bit to do funerals. We get called by the funeral homes. They know that we've done hospice work, but now we've switched gears. And we're actually doing what we've awaited to do for a long time, and that is to go to the nations and to preach and to see God's work done. You know, it seems, maybe many of you can testify to this, that God is doing things quicker, a little bit more quicker than it seemed He did 30 years ago, because we're getting closer to the end. And, you know, we went there for 2 weeks, but yet it seemed like so much was done in those 2 weeks. And these two shepherds over here, which I call them shepherds, that take care of 106 plus sheep, are just doing their job. And I say that with a smile on my face because they welcomed us. And there were about 31 of them that came to Christ and needed water baptism, and they said, why don't you come and baptize our kids? And it was a true blessing to be able to do that. And you know, when God joins people together, and when the body of Christ is working together, there really is no separation. There's this flowing together like this. So what we have seen, and I'm just going on a little bit of our background, as far as with hospice, God now has changed over. When we've done these funerals, we'd love to be able to talk about people that actually we don't even know. We're asked sometimes to do these services, and we didn't know the actual person. But yet, there's something good that can be brought out about any human being. But at the end of their life, we'd like to be able to say something that's encouraging and that could be a blessing to all, and preach the gospel as well, and to let people know that there is hope. How many of you have been given a promise by God? A promise? A promise. It may have come to you at a church service. It may have come to you at home while you're baking cookies. It may have come to you when you're on your job. It may have come to you through someone laying their hands on you and saying, "This is thus saith the Lord, this is what He's called you to do." How many of you are walking in that purpose? You're walking. You feel like you're walking in the purposes of God. It's wonderful. You know, while we were in Uganda, guys, and I was preaching that day about the 30, the 60, and the 100-fold life, God began to show me as I was preaching, Dave, you've arrived into your 100-fold. You have thought and prayed about this for years, but now is your time to walk in the 100-fold. And I'm like, whoa, it's amazing how I can be standing before a group of people and you telling me this as I'm speaking, yet I'm out there looking and God's giving me a word for someone seated over here. How can that be that our minds can even go and do all these things at one time? Well, it's the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can enlighten you to do all kinds of things. But yet, He was beginning to say at that moment, you're beginning to walk in what I've actually laid out for you as a child to now go and do, and Grace as well. And some of us have to wait a long time. And then there's others that go to Uganda and that live in Uganda who have been in this thing for not as long,
but yet grab a hold of what God said, and they're walking in their hundredfold. And I'm like, oh, what's wrong with me? Why did it take so long? And God says, well, hey, I was furnishing. I was making things come alive in your life. I was preparing you. And now is that time. So, you know, there's no difference between Dave Ziegler and the group that he's speaking to. All there is I want you to experience what I'm experiencing. This joy. And if you're here today and you're not experiencing that joy, you can. And how does it work? It comes by obedience. And doing that one thing that he's called you to do. And doing it to such a degree that, wow, others go, whoa, what's in it for me? Sometimes people are operating and doing things that they're called to do. And by the mere fact of them doing it, it sparks in you. What am I supposed to do? When I was a child, my sister and I talked about her being a doctor one day. And at 5 years old, she got this big chemistry set. She opened this chemistry set up. I looked in there, and there were these chemicals, and you could do whatever you wanted with these chemicals, good and bad. I made ink with the chemicals, purple ink, and I put it in a pen, and I could write with my little pen. And my sister knew she was to be a doctor, but believe me, it was a hard road to getting there. She even had to give up that dream for 10 years because it would have caused friction between her and her husband. But she gave up that dream for 10 years, and then she got it back and was able to operate and do the work of a doctor. Well, when she's doctoring, I sit back and go, wow, you were called for this. Man, I got to find out what my purpose is. I got to find out what my hundredfold purpose is. So when you see someone operating in their call, my prayer is, wow, I got to get there. I've got some years left. I've got some things to do. There's some things for me to not only be encouraged in myself, but places to go and others to encourage. I was on Facebook yesterday looking at a friend who has just returned from a 40-day all-around-the-world trip. And wouldn't you know, he mentions in his Facebook page and shows pictures of a visit to Egypt where he, along with another missionary, stayed for a week-long service of 220 Egyptian people that have come together, youth, to have a youth camp. And he said that he was able to teach them how to swim and how to dive as a part, and to get up and just to encourage them. Well, it's an amazing thing. Because he has now come to the place in his life where he did his business for 20 years and it was over, and then God said, now you're going into a whole nother season. And as a result, he gets to go out now and to see what's taking place in this big old world. Because folks, when we leave our shores and go into this big old world, things change. Amazing things take place. And thought processes change. And the way we do life here changes. And I look and I go, wow, how can you do this over here and then be doing this at the same time? Incredible things take place. But he is Lord of it all and sees it all. Whatever he put inside you to guard, I'm just here to encourage you today, guard that thing that he's placed within you. Take to heart what that goal, what that dream, what that vision is. And guard it to your last day. Just like Paul said, to the last day, he has entrusted God with that which he has made a deposit. It's an amazing thing to have a bank and to have something to put in that bank. And don't all of us know that as far as a spiritual bank, we're bankrupt. But we need him to place within us that gift and that deposit. And it's in you. I'm excited about the days ahead. Are you excited about the days ahead? Can a smiling face like this encourage you today?
Yes!
Can I mean, hey, it's just worth saying, God, thank you for every day that I can even get up and move. But yet, man, there's stuff for me to do. There's a deposit that you've put in me to guard and to live and to give. Go with me there. Go with me there. You have gone with us in our work in Uganda and with Darren and Fatuma. We're very grateful. But I'm saying, go with me there where he's planted that vision and that goal in your heart. And you don't, they're all on different levels. Because reaching one child may be where he's called you to go, just one. Or maybe it's something what we call bigger, but yet in God's sight, it's all the same. It's all the same. That's why I don't expect you to come with me to Africa. But if you want to, that door will open if he says to do it. It's a long road sometimes to that destiny that he's called you. But wow, it's exciting. And favor comes by your way. And love. Love comes out of our hearts because he's put it in there and he's put it in you. Wow. Can we pray? And then I'll ask you to come up, Brother Morris. Dear God, we thank you for the places that you are bringing us individually. Lord, I thank you for the call that you've given each one of us. Lord, we thank you that, as Paul said, he was putting it in your care. Lord, the days ahead, we put in your care. The hours, the days, the weeks, the months, we plan to put into your care and into your hand. Lord, we're hurting at times, we're broken at times, but you said that even in our weakness that we would be made strong. So we believe today that, dear God, where you've placed us, we're going to embrace. Lord, we're going to agree with you, just like you said, on earth, may it shall be done on earth as it's been done in heaven. May we even look at our surroundings, the actual house that we live in, the neighborhood that we live in, and say, yes, this is where you have me. You have me at this particular job. You have me at this particular situation. I'll embrace it. I'll start right where I am. I'll stir up that gift that you've placed within me to reach out to those that are near me. And I'll do it because you promised that I am to be salt and light. And so, Father, we pray an encouraging prayer. I pray blessing over your body today. I pray peace. I pray deliverance from mindsets that said it's over. I say, in Jesus' name, receive your new assignment. Put a cross, put away the old, put away the mindset that says it's over. Put on the new, put it on like a garment. And God will do a great work in your heart today. Embrace it in Jesus' name. I'm going to sing a song before Pastor Morris comes. It goes like this. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Pray in the Spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Y'all know it? Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Pray in the Spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. It's where our strength is. Amen? Amen. Thank you. And God bless you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, David.
I'm going to learn to say it like him. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, David. Thank you, our friends from Uganda, for coming and visiting with us today. I don't want to add anything to what they said, but I just want to give you a thought. David, as you said, who knows what God has in the congregation that might want to make a trip someplace, maybe Uganda. But you remember when you spoke here, I believe the last time you spoke, Joanne said she wanted to go with you. God in his divine providence took our angel away from us, and she's in Father's house. But who knows? You may be the one to fill her spot. You might want to pray about that and see if the Lord would have you make a trip somewhere, just where very well may be. So with that said, Father, we thank you. Thank you for all those who have been sent into this body today. I thank you for those who are listening on the radio, wherever they may be, driving across town, that at this moment in time, you'd speak to them. And those who are listening and watching over our internet, that you'd speak to them. And wherever they may be, that they might heed the call, that they might hear the voice of Messiah calling, and they might say, here am I, Lord, send me, and that they may go. Father, use our labors in the kingdom to expand the kingdom. Thank you for our town, our community. Ask your blessings upon it. We pray for those who are sick that need your touch. Yvonne Charles, Lord, who is sick, needs a divine touch. So many others for Sherry's brother who was in that automobile accident. Just for the people around our community and around the world who need a touch from Jesus. Bless this day. Watch over us. Let us see the S-O-N wherever we go in a beautiful S-U-N-filled day. Thank you, Father, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Don't forget the love offering basket for our missionaries to take back with them to Uganda. You're dismissed.